Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Oh, lads, nightlife and fun and a little bit of messing is what we really missed last year, didn't we? Well, it's back. It is back. And one man who can't wait to get you involved is Will Mera of Bingo Loco. Have you ever heard of this before? I'd never heard of it before, but it sounds unreal. He's on the line now, and this lad has had a hell of a life and has a hell of a story. Isn't that right, Will?
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely have some stories to tell for sure.
Well, listen, we're going to get to those stories in a second, but I have to kick off by saying I've never heard of Bingo Loco. My pal gets me a ticket. I head along without a clue. What am I in for?
What are you in for? Well, you're in for one hell of a surprise anyway. So essentially, what we did is we grabbed bingo, which was an art form that was dying. You know, you can imagine when you think of bingo, you conjure up images of people in their elder years sitting in a hall somewhere, falling asleep while someone's calling out numbers. So we took the archaic game of bingo, turned it on its head and created Bingo Loco. Bingo Loco is essentially bingo, but with confetti showers, CO2 blasts, insane prizes, comedians, MCs, guest acts, you know, who are celebrities, the dancers in costumes, and of course everyone's up on their feet dancing to throwback bangers from the 90s, from the 80s, between calling out numbers. And of course we're getting people on stage doing crazy things like lip sync battles, dance-offs, and all sorts of kind of head-to-head challenges for the glory to win prizes that could be something like a 6-foot-tall stuffed teddy, a bouncing castle, or a really nice prize like a trip to Barcelona, including flights and accommodation for two people. So the prizes range from the really, really good to the really, really bizarre. And it's all about high energy, feel-good vibes from the moment it starts. It's 3 hours of bingo, madness, and high-octane fun.
It sounds mental. It sounds brilliant. It sounds like everything I want on a night out in one place. So and so where do you do Bingo Loco? You do it all over the place, don't you? But you're going to be in Dublin soon and around the country, is that right?
So we're currently on sale for 25 locations around Ireland after the October the 22nd. Now we'll be adding more locations as well. Of course, we just had to wait for restrictions to lift. And in that process, of course, you're then trying to scramble to get everything back up and on sale again, which is great, especially after almost 20 months of no events. But we are in Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Galway, all of the major population centres, as well as all the kind of other towns and cities around the country. And also overseas. We're actually an overseas entity too. So we do gigs all around Australia, which the Irish in Australia love to come to, the Middle East. And we're in about 40 locations in the UK now, which is insane.
I just need to go back. Something that's really sticking in my head that you said, you called bingo an art form. Like, I've never heard anybody say that before. I mean, Uber disrupted the taxi industry. Spotify totally changed music. What made you think bingo needs a bit of a shake up? How did it all start?
See, it's real funny, right? Because bingo is a great focal point to keep a room entertained. Like, there's very few things that you can get an entire room engaged at what you're doing just by calling out numbers or saying a few words. So it's a great focal point. So on your night out, when you're going to a club or whatever it may be, you don't really have a standard formula for what to do. You kind of go in this trifecta between the smoking area, the bar, the dance floor. You kind of scatter it around. It's all very random. Whereas this gives a formula for people to come in, have a focal point, and actually engage in kind of like scripted fun, but not scripted fun, because fun isn't scripted. But it started off, like, I'm going to say back in 2016, me and one of my partners, we were away, and we were traveling for quite a while. I was taking kind of a bit of a hiatus, a bit of a sabbatical, and we'd found ourselves over the course of a few months meandering through the Middle East, which kind of brought us to a place called Suleimania in Erbil, or near Erbil in North Iraq. And we were in a mess hall with a lot of Peshmerga soldiers playing bingo. Now, the numbers were all in Arabic and we didn't understand what was going on, but we made a drinking game out of it, got everyone else playing with us. And we realized, hey, maybe bingo could be a really fun, interactive night out where everyone gets absolutely smashed and has a great time.
Mm.
So came back to Dublin, you know, a couple of weeks later, and the idea for Bingo Loco was born, and we didn't really know what we were doing for the first show. Keep in mind, this is almost 5 years ago. I mean, we fell off the stage after 5 hours of, you know, random bingo madness, people doing conga lines through the audience, beach balls floating through the crowd, and everyone was coming up to us afterwards saying, we don't know what that was, but please tell me you're doing it again, and where can we buy tickets? And we were like, okay, well, let's do another one. And it evolved, and it changed, and it kept changing. And then we thought we would do one outside of Dublin, and we tried our first one in Cork, and then it became Galway. And after a year, we realized we'd done almost every music festival, and we were getting, you know, corporate bookings everywhere. And we were like, this is going to become a real big thing.
Somebody texts me saying, Jennifer, you would love a night at Bingo Loco, Bingo and Dancing and Drinks. My sisters and I went in County Tip before and are going again in November. It's such a great night out, ideal for a hen. Someone else says, I met my missus at Bingo Loco. Go, go, go. You'd love it, says Elaine. It sounds like incredible fun, but I want to talk about you for a sec because you're talking about meandering through Asia there. And you took a sabbatical. What were you doing before you went off travelling?
So I was kind of involved in the events industry, the same way my partners were, but we were involved in a variety of different things. Like, you know, my partner, Stephen, he was a psychiatric nurse. My partner, Craig, he was involved in the hospitality. So working for the right venue, Mercantile Group and stuff like that. And I was organizing morning raves that you go to before work.
Yes, I've been to one of them. Love them.
We missed them. But yeah. The time we was in Dublin for 3 years, people used to love going, you know, to rave at 6 a.m. you know, raving their way into the day. But after a while, I think the novelty sort of wore out for a lot of people. But you know, you never know, it might come back someday.
But you have really traveled. You need to tell me, what was it like kung fu training in a Chinese monastery?
Someone's been doing their homework.
Not me.
It was a super interesting experience, spending about, you know, a month learning Kung Fu and Tai Chi from Shaolin masters in the middle of China somewhere, and you know, getting the seven shades of, you know, kicked out of me. But it was a really interesting experience and very enlightening, and I didn't have a clue what anyone was ever talking about because everyone was all speaking in Chinese. Would I do it again? Absolutely. But it won't be for a while because it was extremely difficult. But yeah, it's been a great few years of adventures, and you know, it's kind of weird now being back in Ireland the last few years, although still traveling, getting to getting down to business and creating something mental.
Hang on, like, we're not getting back to Ireland just yet, because it says here, you were fighting ISIS.
Well, that's definitely not true, but. It was the spin that the media took at the time.
Okay, go on.
When me and one of my partners, Craig, we were like I mentioned, backpacking around the Middle East, and we'd gone to the Kurdish region in North Iraq, and we'd met a lot of Peshmerga soldiers who were super nice. We'd spent a few days with them. You know, they were off their duty, and they basically brought us down in a convoy because we were doing a lot of kind of investigative travel blogging at the time, where we would kind of highlight various issues that we would have found in places like Pakistan and Iran. And so this was a great opportunity to kind of do more. And they brought us down to kind of a defensive perimeter. And we got to meet a lot of people who were on duty and kind of explaining how their day went, what life was like shuttling to and from their families, and, you know, how they'd lost certain areas where their homes were to ISIS and stuff like that. But of course, after writing a blog about it, the news decided to, you know, take the adage of, you know, Irish lads wake up drunk fighting ISIS in Iraq, which is hilarious because, of course, that plays on the stereotype of Irish people drinking. And of course, in the article that I'd written was, you know, we went for a few beers one night with these guys. And of course, it turns into this mad, you know, vision of crazy Irish lads drinking, waking up fighting ISIS. Like, we didn't fight anybody, but we got to meet guys who were doing the very noble work of fighting and visiting refugee camps and stuff like that to try to find out what was really going on. And it also, it was a great, just to justify our point, and that the media doesn't tell you what's fully true when you're going to these places and you realise that, like, what you're documenting is different. And also when you put up your own story, that they twist it again out of control. We were up on Lad Bible, and you know, Charlie Sheen was sharing our story online, and Akon was sharing it, and like, oh, what a hangover. And there's a picture of me and my mate in the back of a military truck and stuff. So it definitely got way out of control. But that, well, you know, all for a good reason, though, because if we weren't there, we wouldn't have thought of Bingo Loco.
Exactly. It's incredible. But you've done some pretty, as you said yourself, enlightening things on your travel experience. Were you in search for something apart from Bingo Loco? I mean, you took a sabbatical, you went off, you did some crazy stuff, had amazing experiences. Did you find what you were looking for?
I mean, I initially left because I was actually going through, this sounds very sad, I know, but I was going through a grieving process with after losing my mother. I'd never really taken the time to actually kind of process it. So I did what, like, you know, everyone in their mid-20s decides to do, and that's to go off traveling for a while to find themselves. But no, yeah. I didn't find myself. I actually went off and just had a very interesting time jumping in the deep end and stepping outside of my culture and stepping outside of my comfort zone and discovering loads of new things. And no, I didn't find any love on the road or any sort of like dramatic things like that. But it was a great learning experience. Got to meet some fascinating people. And, you know, it's now led to me also organizing tours in Pakistan every year. So it's definitely kind of thrown the curveball to the rest of my life. But I'm very glad I took that move, got on a plane and left.
Incredible. How long do you think it'll be before you get, you know, itchy feet and get back out there again traveling? Or are you quite happy where you're at?
I kind of haven't really stopped traveling. I'll be in Pakistan this October, bringing a group of intrepid travelers all around the northern territories of Gilgit-Baltistan. Wow. So I kind of never really stopped traveling, but definitely since, like, you know, kind of Bingo has taken off, you know, here and overseas. It's definitely been something that's kind of kept me in Ireland more than I would have been previously. But it's great. I see what that caller kind of came in there and said they met their partner at Bingo Loco. They actually had someone recently who got up, like, you know, told us that they had gotten up on stage at a Bingo Loco in Derry and they had asked their partner to marry them. And now the COVID's lifted, they are getting married and they've also just had a kid.
Oh, so wow.
Bringing people together.
You're like a modern day matchmaker with Bingo Loco. Listen, it's amazing that you had to go off on your travels to discover this. And thank you for bringing it back to the Irish people, because it sounds like incredible fun. It really does. And just a unique experience. So go on, tell us, how can we get our tickets?
Yep. So if you go to bingo-loco.com, you'll be able to hop on there and you'll be able to find tickets for everywhere in the world. But also, if you just click on Ireland, you'll see all the locations we have at sale for Ireland at the moment, including, you know, some local land gigs, because we've got Cascada, we've got Venga Boys, we've got Five, and all those throwback acts from the 90s and noughties. They'll be playing some of our large Circus Top XXL shows in places like Cork and in Derry. But you'll be able to find everything on our website and, of course, all the usual socials as well.
I'm so excited about this. Me and the team are looking at each other going, we're going to this. Will, you're an absolute star. You need to write a book about your life, because I could listen to you talk all morning. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. We need to get on with the show. But thank you so much for joining me on the show, and best of luck with Bingo Loco. We'll definitely be going to one of those nights, and have a lovely day.
Amazing. Hopefully see you raving at the front.
Oh, I will be there. Thanks, Will.
Take care.
See you, love. Bye, bye, bye. There we go. What you make of that? Your kind of a night? Definitely mine. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.